Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Good morning to every one of you listening to this radio broadcast. Many families have suffered much loss these past 2 years due to the federal government's malfeasance with handling of COVID cases and denying early treatment with tried and true antiviral medications. Instead, they forced upon us an experimental mRNA monkey pus vaccine that has had very questionable trials. Medical science has been turned on its head. Profits precedes proven science. The love of money is the root of all evil. Liberal, unregenerate, globalist politicians and bureaucrats lie to the American public continually in order to bring about their Antichrist one world order as prophesied by the holy prophets many millenniums ago, like Daniel in the Old Testament and John the Revelator in the New. As it is written, let God be true, but every man a liar. And is that not the truth? Tyrants control the White House and Congress today. President Donald Trump was and is a nationalist, protecting the sovereignty and autonomy of America, whereas this crowd that stole the election are globalists. And yes, I am a proud, patriotic, Black Robe Regiment pastor that loves our constitutional Christian republic and mourns for the past glory that proudly defines this nation. I despise these globalists who are hell-bent on bringing about the satanic, globalist, antichrist agenda. They love the ways of death. They ultimately are responsible for the death of these innocent children in that elementary school in Texas and the innocent lives lost in front of that supermarket in Buffalo, New York. These globalists, atheists, have kicked God and the Bible out of the classroom for the last 60 years. They rationalize murdering babies in the womb and even 10 to 30 days outside the womb. They rationalize not executing immediately after conviction the murderer, the rapist, and the pedophile. They rationalize not having armed police in the schools to protect the children from crazed individuals. They have allowed an epidemic of homelessness, which has exacerbated the crime problem in our cities. It is not guns that are a problem. It is lawlessness in the highest offices of government that trickle down to the populace. God is love, and He is the only source to cure these ills of our society. America is where it is today because our God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, has been banned from the classroom. Government has tried to play the Savior but has failed miserably, only to bring about these ills that permeate the earth. The following sermon is entitled Paul's Hymn of Charity. God's love is what is needed in the earth, and it can't be found in the secular anti-God educational system or the Satan-loving communist U.S. federal government who spends trillions of dollars solving nothing, only to advance greed and corruption. Love is the central theme of the Bible, but the Bible is banned from the classroom. So what is the antithesis of love? The answer is hate. And that is what dominates our shores, our classrooms, our government, our streets. No Bible, no love, no life. Therefore, murder and hate dominate our cities, small and great. It all starts at the top with the behemoth federal government and the capitulation of state government sycophant politicians that love federal subsidies and love the praises of men instead of the praises of God. Only God can truly correct this mess. And when He does, it will be a sad day for many in political office throughout the land who ignore God's stern warnings. They are fanning the flames of God's fury. Let me remind you, you deviant politicians, hell is a place of significant torment for those who have tormented the innocent here on the top side of the earth. That includes keeping the Bible out of the classroom and the murder of the unborn. You silver-tongued serpents, your day is coming. Repent now before it is eternally too late, and spend every wakening hour protecting the innocent. The scriptures say, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." There is for the deviant a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Paul's Hymn of Charity, Part 3.
Roman numeral 7, Charity's Eternity. Paul has shown charity as essential, then supreme. Finally, he breaks away from the transient and the mortal and reveals charity as eternal. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Okay, or you could say they pass. Fulfilled in time, they are then passed. All prophecies will gradually be fulfilled and pass. They will be fulfilled. Christ fulfills all the law, fulfills the prophecies in the scriptures. So they will pass, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. One day all of civilization shall be of one tongue. The Bible tells us in Zephaniah, Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I will rise to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Remember, God brought about the confusion of languages. Why? Because Nimrod and all those that followed him created a city and a tower that they were building to God, and God put an end to it. Because God said, go throughout the earth and multiply and take dominion of the whole earth, but not to concentrate in one centered city. And so he brought confusion of tongues. So in the kingdom age, there's going to be one language. One language. Will it be English? Can't answer that. Will it be Hebrew? Can't answer that. Will it be Greek? Can't answer that. But it says, I will turn to the people a pure language. Also, you can say, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. The gift of tongues. That gift came to an end, just like the gift of healing came to an end. Now, what do I mean by that? Came to an end, the gift of healing. Well, there's still healing today. The Bible says that if a person is ill, they're to come before the church and people are to pray over them. But with the apostles, as with Jesus, they could speak it and they were healed, or pray for them on their behalf and they were healed instantly, immediately. Well, it's the same with tongues. To spread the gospel rapidly, especially on the day of Pentecost when Peter was preaching, most likely in Greek, people from all over the earth during that day and time heard what he had to say in their own tongue. That was a miraculous event. But those things gradually closed. The whole Pentecostal movement that we have for the last 150 years is a new thing. That's just a creation of man. Of the speaking in tongues and getting slayed in the Spirit and being baptized of the Holy Ghost. You're baptized with the Holy Ghost the day you got saved. Not that you have to have a second blessing, being baptized with the Holy Ghost and, you know, crawling all over the floor or screaming all around the church and then speaking in some kind of foreign tongue. That's the charismatic movement. No, those tongues ceased. And what's interesting, when we go to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, that whole chapter speaks on that one gift of tongues and how important it is to you, if you have that gift, how important it is to use it. And let me just say this, moms of Mother's Day and ladies, the Bible says, especially in chapter 4, the tongues movement is brought about by women. Most of the churches, it's all women in the Pentecostal movement. And they're running the show. And they're the ones running around the church screaming or yelling and talking in tongues. What does chapter 14 say? Women keep silent in the church. That's how you know that's not of God. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Because when day dawns, all stars disappear, not veiled by the clouds, but lost in the sunshine. For we know in part, we possess fragments of knowledge. Mankind is far from omniscient. Dale, who comes to our Bible study on Wednesdays. He tells me over and over again, he says, I'm retired. He says, the older I get, the more I learn how much I don't know. How much I don't know. For we know in part, we possess fragments of knowledge. Mankind is far from omniscient. And we prophesy in part. But when that which is come, which is perfect is come, speaks of the return of Christ, the consummation there in Daniel chapter 9. When then cometh the end is another phrase we see there in Corinthians chapter 15. Then that which is in part shall be done away with. Our glorification will bring indescribable illumination to our minds. We will see more clearly than we do now. We will see things much more clearly, and all those question marks we had throughout the scriptures will come to view. When I was a child, I spake as a child of God. In our mortal flesh, we have limited range of biblical utterance. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, Paul said. Our feeble range of comprehension cramps our intelligence and thought. Our feeble range of comprehension cramps our intelligence and thoughts. But when I became a man, Paul said, symbol of the mighty manhood of eternal immortality, we become a perfect man at glorification, yet a future event. Paul said, I put away childish things. When we speak, we stammer. When we think, we stumble. When we feel, we cry. Glorification will be perfect manhood or mankind. Whereas our current physical life at best is pictured as if in infancy, the sincere milk of the word we see in the scriptures. For now we see through a glass darkly. We see spiritually into the word of God as if we were wearing welding goggles. Now, some of you may not know what welding goggles are, but they are like sunglasses on steroids, okay? They are super dark, and you can't, if I put welding goggles, I could not see out and see any of you. But boy, when you bring an arc together for welding, all of a sudden everything becomes illuminated in welding goggles. And so we see spiritually into the Word of God as if we were wearing welding goggles. The scriptures perplex us with insoluble riddles because of our finite scope of understanding. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. The day will come when we see Jesus face to face. Our minds will become fully illuminated to the truth. And those heavily tinted glasses will be lifted from our eyes. Also, we will see more clearly our former wretchedness. It's like spiritual cataracts will be removed. Roman numeral 8, charity's supremacy. There now blazes forth one great sphere of eternity. And now, Paul says, as the red carpet is rolled out at the great gala of truth, presenting the grand finale and lauding over the perfect specimen of truth, amid the passing and perishing of all else, abideth, and now abideth, as permanent as the soul of man, faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Each foundation of grace is great, but love is supreme over all. Each foundation of grace, faith and hope, is great, but love is supreme over all. All salvation is wrapped up in faith. All reward is wrapped up in hope. But all heaven is wrapped up in love. For love is the nature and the home of God. Our coming perfection, which lessens the need and diminishes the intensity of other graces, only expands the power and enlarges the sphere of love. The reverse curiously enforces the truth, or the opposite. Faith, infidelity. Okay, so faith, the opposite of faith is infidelity. The opposite of hope is despair. The opposite of charity is hate. The worst of these three is hate. Love is greatest because it is the oldest. Love can say before faith and hope were, I am. For before the worlds were, love was. Love is greatest because faith and hope permanently displays our limitations. Faith to our dependence, hope to our lack, but love is purely positive. He that loveth not God, the scriptures say. For God is love, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Love is greatest, because faith is not a goal, but a road to salvation. Hope is not a goal, but a road to joy. But love is a goal, not a road, for God is love. Love is greatest because faith and hope acquire blessings. Love gives them. I benefit by my faith and hope. Others benefit by my love. Love is greatest because faith and hope are creature virtues. Love is the essence of the Creator. Our love is not an imitation of God, like faith, or an aspiration after God, like hope, but an emanation from Him, the life of God pouring through us to make us God-like. Let me read that again. Love is greatest because faith and hope are creature virtues. Love is the essence of the Creator. Our love is not an imitation of God, like faith, or an aspiration after Him, like hope, but an emanation from Him, the life of God pouring through us to make us God-like. Faith pours over a book, the Bible, with faith enthralled in conviction. Hope is seated at the window casing, watching, her face aglow with the coming dawn. Speaking of the coming of the Lord, we're hoping for the resurrection. But love kneels on the pavement, lifting the head of the phallus of human beings, lost in the sea of helpless humanity. And upon her face is the countenance which was upon the face of Stephen. As you know, Stephen was the first martyr of the Christian faith. And we read about him in chapter 6 and 7 of the book of Acts. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. The face of one who has been with God. Stephen's love for his enemies, and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in heaven. This was after he preached to them. And saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Important thing that you need to note is Jesus is standing. Not sitting. But Jesus is looking down and seeing what's taking place on the earth. And Jesus is standing. Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Meaning he died in Christ. Do you see the importance of charity? Does charity stand out? Have I illuminated your thoughts a little clearer on charity? Have I helped you to see past through those cataracts in our spiritual eyes? And so, love. And moms, that is your characteristic. That is your trait. Love. And you know, all of you, you were born because of a mom. And mom loved you, took care of you, and nurtured you. And of course, with your father. But mom's loves, mom, you know, yeah, all moms are different. And we can sit here for hours talking about the differences of moms and the aspect of love within human nature. But the perfection of love is found in this hymn by the Apostle Paul. And we all need to work on it. This is not just a mouthful of words. This is a lifetime of change in our lives to be more like Christ. And so we need to do that.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13,500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. No.